The podcast Members of the Chamber is presented by Piper Foods and fueled by McCafe. If you're listening in your car, why not stop by one of Piper Foods' five McDonald's locations in Oakville or look them up on any McDelivery service. We thank Piper Foods for their generous support of our chamber and for everything they do in the community. Now let's get started. Welcome, Oakville Chamber, to Season 2 of our podcast, Members of the Chamber. Oakville Chamber members, one story at a time. Members of the Chamber is a podcast. For each episode, we sit down with one member of our chamber community and have a conversation. A conversation about their individual entrepreneur or professional journey, their job, and how they ended up where they are today. My name is Drew Redden. I'm the President and CEO of the Oakville Chamber of Commerce. We're broadcasting from the Staples Studio co-working facility located at 320 North Service Road West in Oakville, Ontario, and this is Members of the Chamber. This episode of Members of the Chamber is brought to you by Staples Studio Oakville. We're currently recording our podcast, Members of the Chamber, in the podcast booth at Staples Studio Oakville on 320 North Service Road West, where they have everything you need to help your business. They're currently offering a safe and healthy place to work, with desks, offices, and drop-in memberships. More than a co-working space, Staples is a community to help you work, learn, and grow. For more information on pricing, please visit studio.staples.ca. or contact the community manager at studio.oakville@staples.ca for a tour. Hey, Kristen, give us an update on what is new at the Chamber that you can share with our listeners.
Yeah, the Oakville Chamber launched our Chamber Community Events page on the website. Here, members can submit events they are hosting and view events hosted by their fellow members.
This is a great initiative driven by the members because you know, they really have so much going on, even virtually. It's nice for them to have a space to share what they're up to. What are we at in terms of events that have been submitted so far?
We've already received over
60
events.
Holy, that's great. What are some of these events?
Well, we have a great variety, from business workshops such as International Market Research with Halton Region, to French Camp with Le Petit École, French Language Center, to virtual fundraisers with our charities.
That was very good French. But lots of events that are going on. And if you're a member or just a community member, I encourage you to visit the Chamber Community Events listing and submit your events and see what's going on in our community.
Visit oakvillechamber.com, then head to Events and Member Events. Be sure to visit this page often to stay up to date. Andrew, while we're speaking about events, the last time you saw our next guest was while we were filming the Oakville Awards for Business Excellence last year.
That's right. You know, that was really the first virtual production that the Chamber put on. And we did that in partnership with the Rotary Club of Oakville West. And thanks to our friends at Cogeco and URTV Halton, who are huge supporters of our community, they were able to make our vision become a reality. So stay tuned for details of what this year's awards are going to look like.
It's always one of my favorite events, and I loved the virtual show last year.
Well, let's bring in our next guest, who, as you mentioned, is an OABE recipient. Our guest today is Maria Robertson. Maria is a renowned newborn consultant. She's the founder and CEO of the New Mummy Company, a leading Canadian business in services and products designed to meet the needs of mothers and their babies. Maria's career started in Ireland as a maternity nurse, but soon her incredible gift of helping parents create solid sleep and eating routines suited to their lifestyles of her clients fueled her career and took her to travel the world for more than 15 years, providing specialized childcare. Her extensive industry experience and passion for this industry has made Maria one of the most sought-after newborn consultants internationally and has led her to work for many VIP clients around the world. Since 2012, Maria splits her time between five locations her company services in Canada: Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, and Ottawa, growing her team of highly qualified newborn care experts to support families during pregnancy, delivery, and postpartum from newborn to the toddler years. All hires are interviewed and vetted for by Maria herself to ensure top quality support is provided to the clients of the new mommy company. Maria, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me, Drew. I'm very excited to be here.
So let's get started. You know, you began your career in Ireland as a maternity nurse. How did you realize that you had this gift that you could help so many parents with?
Well, that's a really good question. I just knew that working with infants and children was something that I was drawn to. And when I got the opportunity to work with the very first set of twins, which coincidentally turned 21 last week, I sort of fell in love. And I went from one set of twins to another set of twins to another set of twins. Mm-hmm. And so three sets of twins in my first year. You learn a thing or two about what makes sense to make the nights go that little bit easier and that little bit smoother. And then obviously you're chatting to the parents and they're telling you some of the challenges that they're facing either during the day or on the nights that you're not there. And so I realized that I had a lot of learning to do. So I started taking lots of courses, doing lots of research, doing lots of reading and coming up with strategies to help the parents to make the night go that little bit easier, understanding about sleep, which was really something that I hadn't done in nursing school very much. And so putting all of that together was really helpful to be able to support the parents and then getting the parents' feedback in terms of how things were going when I wasn't there. And then obviously, you know, from a very selfish point of view, you want the nights to go smooth while you're there and you're caring for them. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, the whole idea is that you can provide the support while it's needed, but you also don't want to be there forever because there's a financial implication. And so we just worked to make the nights as boring and mundane as possible, obviously feeding the babies when they needed to, but obviously removing all the stimulation and the entertainment and trying to get them to encourage them to sleep as long as possible overnight. And after three sets of twins, I kind of figured that I had a pretty good formula. And then it was a case of just sort of putting it into use with little amendments with each family from there on.
So you ultimately make the decision to leave your job as a maternity nurse. And what was the biggest challenge or adjustment for you as you transitioned to entrepreneurship?
Probably families asking for me to come back and work with them. That was hard because when I first moved to Canada, it was just little old me. I was doing the in-person support and I was with the parents overnight. But then there came a point where I had that go big or go home moment because I was fully booked for a period of 18 months. I had to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, this is where I'm going to start building the team. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to build the team and other people are going to do the work. But once I stopped that, then parents were still coming saying, no, I understand that you have people who do this for you now, but we want you. Mm-hmm. Why can't we have you? So that was a challenge in the very beginning. I guess the challenge is still the challenge that I face every now and again, where there's that little voice in your head that says, you didn't go to business school. Like, are you sure you know what you're doing? Because I went to nursing school, so yeah. I didn't go to business school. And sometimes, you know, you've got that voice in your head, that little doubt voice, where you sort of question, you know, are you doing the right thing? But, you know, I kind of feel that you're just sort of guided by your head and your heart and your gut instinct in sort of just repeating what I've always done and just trying to try it on a larger scale. So there's been a lot of challenges and I haven't always got it right.
Of course.
But I think the most important thing is to sort of have that direct passion for what you do. And for me, it was a go big or go home moment. I was fully booked for 18 months. And that was the point where I sort of was able to say, well, you know, I can keep doing this and my life's not going to change, which would have been fine. But also there was a point where you kind of look up, you know, see the wood from the trees and sort of think, okay, I could potentially make this into something. And the demand was there from parents and I was sending away more parents than I could ever take on. And so I thought, well, I can either try to help these parents or I can just keep sending them away. And so that for me was that moment where I said, okay, I'm going to try and fill this into something. I had no idea what it was going to look like. I never imagined that it would look what it looked like now. So that's kind of fun. But certainly been a lot of challenges.
Of course, but I think that's a really interesting point to pick up on. You know, you started this business because the demand for you and your personal services was so high. So as you're building the team, what are you looking for to try to recreate that magic that you bring to this business?
I refer to it as the trifecta. So I'm looking for qualifications, I'm looking for experience, but also I'm looking for personality because, you know, going into somebody's home, I have always considered it an honor and a privilege to spend what is a very, very, very special time in any family's life, the birth of their first, second, third, maybe even twins. To spend time with them is such a privilege. And so I need to make sure that someone who's going to go in and represent us as a company or you know, just even representing me and my brand, that they have that trifecta. So yes, you can have the qualifications and the experience, but do you have the personality, like that passionate, caring, devoted, motherly, grandmotherly approach, so that you can be a presence in someone's home that is wanted and respected, where you can almost become part of the furniture, where you do your job, but you're never an intrusion and you provide support, but you never take over. It's a real fine balance. And I guess because I'm so picky, that's why it has worked. And I think our statistics are something like 4.8 people out of every 100 is what we hire. So it's actually quite a low number, which is unfortunate. But I think now as the years go by, it's kind of beginning to pay dividends because people are seeking us out from quite unusual referral sources.
Well, speaking of your brand, you know, I understand you are known in various countries as Maria Poppins, a parent's comfort blanket, my sanity, and by actress Amanda Peet as a baby whisperer and a toddler whisperer. You know, personally, I really like Maria Poppins. What led you to be known as these names? Because these are incredible marketing tools to have your customers refer to you in these terms.
You know, obviously it's not coming from me, that's coming from them. It was standard process, and it is standard process for us now too, that when you leave a position that you would ask for a written recommendation letter. So that was what I received. And when I finished my very first stint with Amanda, she was meant to be going on The View to talk about her show, which was a play with David Duchovny. And so I'm sitting at home with her husband watching it. And there she is talking about me. And I'm sort of sitting there with my chin on the floor going, she's talking about me, not the play. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are upset about this. And she was the one who referred to me as the baby whisperer, which was, it was such a nice referral. People have made up their own various terms for me, which, you know,
it's awesome.
It's very heartwarming.
So we're talking about Amanda Peet, you know, Hollywood on The View, but how do you get connected with folks in these VIP circles?
So with Amanda, it was one of those, I guess, you know, right place at the right time in terms of availability. I was doing some troubleshooting with a set of twins, and I was about to finish with them. It was just a really short term go in, fix the situation. And I was asked if I was available for a telephone interview with Amanda. And I said, yes, I really honestly didn't know anything about her and her husband at that point. I didn't know anything about him, but he created a little show that maybe some of your viewers might know about. It's called Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard about that one.
Yeah, you know, a few people have seen it, I think. So basically what had happened was they had recently arrived in Belfast, which is where the show was filmed, and they had arrived. They had a newborn baby. They had a toddler. Their nanny got sick, and they all had jet lag. And so they wanted help for about a week or maybe two. And so I went on a one-way ticket to Belfast and stayed the 2 weeks. And then as I was leaving, I kind of got my arm twisted to say, would you just go home for the weekend and come back again for another week? And so came back for another week, and then it was time for me to go home. And then she said, you know, maybe we should talk about this being a little bit more longer term. And I was like, sure. So at that point, David had started filming. We were getting kind of into a routine. And then she sort of said, you know, I'm probably going to have to go to work in the fall and I'm going to do this show. Maybe you've heard of David Duchovny. I'm thinking, yeah, I think I am. So it was just one of those things where right place at the right time. But when people say to me, oh, you're so lucky to go to work with these, you know, rich and famous people, I say, well, you know, I was probably lucky to be in the right place at the right time to be able to have that telephone interview, but luck didn't get me the position in the telephone interview, because I know for a fact I wasn't the only person that she interviewed that night. I was one of a number of people. You have to know yourself, but it's also how you treat people is probably the most important thing. My time with them was not a short-term thing. In fact, it's kind of still ongoing, because Game of Thrones, as you know, went on to do the whole 9 seasons, 8 seasons. And so we were in Belfast every year for quite a long period of time. And yeah, there's some benefits that come out of that. Meeting Jason Momoa is probably the biggest one for me. So,
that's pretty, I'm sure you have some cool photos from that experience.
Yes. So things like that are really sort of fun. But obviously at the beginning of the show, I didn't know anything about it. Nobody did. And so that was kind of nice to begin my journey with them when it wasn't quite so crazy as it was at the end.
So you've traveled the world, you know, you're talking about these opportunities in Belfast, and, you know, earlier in your bio, I mentioned you traveled the world for 15 years providing specialized care, child care. What led you to open a bricks and mortar location like the one you have in Oakville?
I guess, again, client feedback, what clients are looking for, what they're asking for, what they tell you that isn't available, or asking you, do you know where I can get this? Do you know where I can get that? And we were lucky enough to grow the business. And as I grew the business, I wasn't able to have everyone that worked with me work in my front room anymore. And so little by little, we grew. And I had got to know Natasha, who runs Maison Apothecaire, another Oakville business. And she had always said to me, you know, if you're ever looking to have an office space, then, you know, let me know. And of course, divine timing, she had looked at a local place, and it was a little bit too big of an office space, but it was perfect wholesale space for her. And so we ended up moving in together. And our space was wonderful, and we had 2 very happy years of cohabiting. We outgrew them, they outgrew us. And so eventually we started to look for another location. And so having grown in those 2 years of being there, we sort of knew what people wanted and what people were asking for. And I had this vision in my mind that I wanted a space where we could provide education, information, and just sort of be a community hub. So I'm obviously, you know, a little bit sad that things are the way that they are right now, because we're not seeing the number of parents that we would like. But we have a beautiful yoga studio for us to be able to hold classes and seminars and all of that, and yoga and prenatal and all of those. And we look forward to getting people back in due course. But we also have a bunch of very comfortable, cozy recliner chairs that we got Rooms to Grow, which is, again, another local company down in Bronte. And so those recliners are the chairs that our moms and dads sit on when they come in for their prenatal education class. Mm-hmm. So when they come in, they can spend the day with us in those recliners. And that was my vision, was to have something where you're not sitting on a, you know, like a high school chair, a hard plastic chair, because when you're pregnant, and particularly in the later stages of your pregnancy, when you typically do a prenatal class, you want to make sure that you're comfortable and you're relaxed. And our classes are very informal, they're very relaxed. And so that's what I wanted. And then, of course, you know, parents ask about referrals for which product is best for this and which product do you recommend for that. And one of our services is a breast pump delivery service. So obviously we have all of the products and accessories to go along with that. And so I like to be able to just help people answer their questions. Why do I need this? Do I need this? And if I'm doing this, should I be buying this? And do I need this? And 9 times out of 10, I shoot myself in the foot and I tell people, actually, no, you don't need that at all. If you've got that, you're good. You don't need that. So I'm talking people out of buying things, which is not very salesy, but I like to be honest with people and give them the honest answer. And, you know, I do the same in my YouTube, which I'm sure people from certain companies are probably thinking, you're not really bigging us up. And I'm like, well, I'm not here to big you up. You know, your PR and your marketing team can do that. I just like to be honest with people.
It's how you get customer loyalty, you know, being honest with people, right? And coming back.
Yeah. You know, having a baby is expensive. So I'm not going to tell you to buy something unless I really feel that you need it.
So you also have 5 locations that you service across Canada, but what are some of the challenges for you running your business in locations, you know, across our vast country?
I guess the first thing was the size. My husband was working on Vancouver Island many years ago, and it was coming up to Thanksgiving, and he said to me, do you want to come out here? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to see it. I haven't been out there. And when I got on the plane, I said to the lady next to me, how long is this flight? And she said, oh, it's about 5 hours. I was thinking, holy smokes, are you kidding me? I could be in Ireland in the same time. So that was one of the biggest things. I didn't actually appreciate just how big Canada was. It just doesn't do it justice on the map. The time zones can be a little bit challenging from time to time. We do have extended opening hours. We are open till 7 Eastern time, but that's still only 4 o'clock in BC. So that is a bit challenging, but you know, equally, I want to make sure that my office team have a work-life balance and that they're not answering the phones at 9 o'clock at night. So we do shut off the phones at 7 just so that we can have some sort of a normal life over here. I think the hardest thing is right now not being able to travel as easily to Edmonton, to Calgary, to Vancouver, because obviously the travel restrictions are there. So interviewing face-to-face is something that I miss, because I would travel and interview the people who would come onto our team in a face-to-face situation, and we would do the baby shows and all of that. But I have to say that, you know, we've utilized and taken advantage of technology to the best of its abilities. And so now I do Zoom interviews regularly where I can still, you know, sort of feel like it's still an in-person interview, and that really helps. But for the most part, you know, knock on wood, we don't find too many challenges about providing the services in those locations. Yes, I look forward to getting back with my feet on the ground into those locations.
Of course.
Sort of continuing to build the relationships with our team in individual locations, but also with other businesses, etc. But otherwise, all things considered, we are making it work, even though we can't travel right now.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, and I think it crosses all business lines that, you know, we can't wait to get back to what it was like before with interacting, but there's also efficiencies and innovation, you know, that has been spurred by necessity during the COVID pandemic that will stick with a lot of business models going forward. But you're certainly right. There's a lot of things we can't wait to get back to.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you won the Oakville Award Business Excellence for Entrepreneur of the Year. So congratulations again.
Yeah, thank you.
What was that process like? And what did that award mean to you?
Oh, my God. First of all, it was a shock. And it sort of still feels like it was like, did that actually happen? The process was wonderful, I have to say. When I first got nominated, I was a bit shocked. When Jennifer Kazmaier nominated me, I was like, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. But then when I went through the first series of paperwork and filled it in, you know, there is always that voice in your mind that is like, wow, this is a pretty big deal and there's no way I'm going to make it through. And then before I knew it, I was told the judges were going to come and see me, and that was wonderful. I thought I'd be really nervous, but they had such great questions. We just sat, we chatted, and all of a sudden they were like, great, that's all we need. And I was like, what, you want to leave? Like, we could just keep talking. It was such an easy conversation with them, and, you know, I just loved it. I mean, I guess it's like anything. When you really love what you do, you could talk about it all day. But obviously they had, you know, lunches to go and get and real life to go back to. So they left. And I'm really glad that we got to do it in person, because the questions when they came to see me was before we got into lockdown.
Yeah.
Winning the award was a total gobsmack. I was like, are you sure? I remember when I got the call, I actually had to stay at the end. So what does this mean? He's like, you won. I was like, oh, right, okay. Because the way it was phrased was, you know, congratulations, you're the recipient of this year's award. And I was like, but I'm not going to win. Like, so what does this actually mean? It took a minute. It really took a minute for the penny to drop. It's kind of hard to put into words as to what it means. I mean, to be nominated was such a surprise in the first place, to think that actually someone would think that, you know, you're deserving of this award. But then to actually win it, and I felt like the people that were in my category had such wonderful, wonderful businesses. It really blew my mind. It sometimes still feels like a shock. So it was a huge privilege, a huge honor. Very sad that we didn't get to celebrate with my team because, you know, obviously COVID took that away. But yeah, it was a real honor, a real surprise. And beautiful piece of crystal sits right beside my desk in the office proudly.
That's good. And I think all our listeners, you know, after hearing your story, will think you're a very deserving winner after listening to the podcast. So normally we end our show with the question, what is the best piece of advice you've received in your career? And I do promise we will get to that one as well. But I did want to ask you one other advice question first. And that is, what is the best piece of advice you can offer parents of a newborn?
I think while you're pregnant, you need to really do your homework and do your research and educate yourself. I think there's so many parents who maybe focus on the birth of the baby. Like, they spend so much time and energy worrying and concerned about the day the baby's going to be born. And while that is a huge, huge, huge day, they're very then often unprepared for the early days and weeks ahead. And so they can then obviously be challenging, and they sort of feel like they're not doing something right, or they're bad parents, or they're just not cut out to be parents, or whatever. So I think just make sure that you are prepared for day 3 and day 4 and day 5 and week 6 and week 10. Do your homework, get some support, talk to friends and family, and sort of don't have the attitude of, oh, that won't happen to me.
Okay, our more traditional finale question. What is the best piece of advice you've received in your career?
Get a mentor is definitely the best piece of advice that I was given. Unfortunately, I didn't have it for quite some time. And it is definitely, definitely, without question, the most important thing. I think the other thing that's probably really helpful, again, something that I have now that I didn't have before, is a group of other business people. I happen to have like a mastermind accountability group that I work with once a month. And I think they are two of the best things that you can do for yourself. A mentor is someone who has so much more experience than you do, who can sort of, you know, look out for you and help you avoid some of the pitfalls and some of the mistakes. And, you know, making mistakes is all part and parcel of being an entrepreneur, but some of the costly mistakes or some of the more time consuming mistakes, if you can avoid at least some of those, was definitely a good thing. And having an accountability group or a mastermind group just helps to keep you focused and helps to keep you on track, because, like I've mentioned already, there is occasionally that voice in your head says, who are you to think you can do this? And it's really good to have people to help you quieten that little voice that can come in and help with that imposter syndrome. You want to try and quieten that little voice, or at least that's what has worked for me for sure.
I think that's a really important message to get out. So thank you for that. And thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it and enjoyed that conversation.
No problem. Thank you so much, Drew. It's great to chat to you.
For members and listeners, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to join us. If you know someone that would make an interesting guest on Members of the Chamber, please send us a note to info@oakvillechamber.com. We would love to hear from you. Make sure you stay up to date with what's going on at the Chamber by following along on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you to our producer and Chamber Communications Manager, Kristen Curry. Talk to you soon, Oakville Chamber. Have a safe and productive day.